always count it a blessing to do anything on God's program. Amen. I would ask you if you would turn your Bibles to the book of Ruth. Keeping with our theme, the greater one is on the inside of us. Greater is he that's inside me, inside us, than he that is in the world. Amen. The scripture tonight, I want to honor Pastor too, wherever he is, and honor all the leadership of the church. Amen. And everybody that's here. Amen. Turn to the book of Ruth. We're going to read the first chapter, verses 16, 17, and 18. Then we're going to read chapter 3, verse 3, 4, and 5, and then drop down to verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. And I'll read it as such. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. I studied out of the King James, but I like the reading in the Amplified better. It's just me. Yes. And it reads, "And Ruth said, urge me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you." Verse 18. "When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more." Chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. "Wash and anoint yourself, therefore, and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, notice the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And Ruth said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." Verses 8 through 11. "At midnight, the man was startled, and he turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, 'Who are you?' And she answered, 'I am Ruth, your maidservant. Spread your wing of protection over your maidservant, for you are a next of kin.' And he said, 'Blessed be you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have made this last loving kindness greater than the former. For you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do for you all you require. For all my people in the city know that you are a woman of strength, worth, bravery, capability." Amen. And I have titled this message, "There's a Blessing in Covenant." There is a blessing in covenant. In the time frame in which Ruth was written, it was written in the time of the judges or after the judges. It was during a time when the Bible said that people did what was right in their own eyes. Joshua had been the strong leader at that time in their faces, in their forefront. But he's dead now, and he's gone on. So there's no great leader standing before the people. And when you read through Judges, you always read, whenever there was a righteous king, the people did righteously. When the king was evil, the people did evil. And I'm saying that to say this, whenever there is righteous leadership, the people do righteously. When the leadership is evil, the people do whatever they want to do, because they don't feel like if there's a high standard of holiness, if you're not going to hold it, why should I? And so people tend to want to do what they want to do. Now, I want to say this because I go through this whole four chapters. It's just four chapters. So just allow me to just reach in and out of the chapter. There is a blessing in covenant. The Bible tells us in the first chapter that there was a famine in the land. A famine meaning there was no food, or there was very little food for the people in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is means the house of bread. These people lived in Bethlehem, Judah. Judah is the land of praise. So we're looking at a family, and I'm going to name them. We're looking at a family of people who lived in the house of bread in the land of praise. And yet there was a famine in that land. The characters in the story are Naomi, and I'm going to give you their names meaning, because when you look up name meanings, it brings a lot more revelation to what you're reading. God is able to open your understanding to a greater degree. And then you can just see what's going on. I like lineage. I like to talk about who was kin to who and who was kin to who and all of that, because it brings it together. And you find out it's just the family of God. The whole of it is just the family of God. The people that were attached to the family, the people that was excommunicated from the family, the people that were enemies of the family. And so Naomi's name means pleasantness. Naomi had a husband. Her husband's name is Elimelech. Elimelech names me, my God is king. Ruth is one of the characters in the reading. Her name means companion, friend, or vision of beauty. Her sister-in-law, Orpah, her name means stubbornness, or neck, or fawn. These are Hebrew names. Ruth's husband at that time, Mahlon, name means infirmity. Orpah's husband, Chilion, names means wasting away, or it's finished, or it's complete. The other chief character in the story is Boaz, and his name means in him is strength. And so, as we read, I'm going back to Ruth 1:16, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee in me." Where have we heard that at? How many married folks in here? As part of the marriage vows. I guess, I won't say we, I guess y'all say it, you know. But it is. But it's a cutting of covenant of two women. And when we look at the word covenant, covenant means contract. It's a contract between two, or it's a contract between parties. In this scripture text, it's a contract between an older woman and a young woman, a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And it was such a close contract. The greatest thing I think about covenant is when they are spiritual connections. There is a greater one, and there's a lesser one. The greater one has the obligation, so to say, to make the life of the lesser one better, make their existence better. And so when we look at this story, this family is in Moab. Moab was a cousin. I said, that was their cousin there. Moab was a land where Moab was a man, number one, but Moab was the country. But Moab is Lot's children. Incest. When Lot was driven out of the land, or brought out of the land, I don't want to say driven, brought out of the land, and they thought that there was nothing else nobody else after Sodom and Gomorrah had burned down. Those two girls wanted to raise up an heir to their father. And they made him drunk. And so they gave him wine, made him drunk. And the older daughter went in the first night, and the younger daughter went in the next night. But anyway, both of those girls gave birth to boys. So this is the land that this family, this righteous family, has gone into. When they get there, Elimelech dies. Ruth came with her husband and her two sons. That is a great heritage. She got there. They running. They left a famine. Moab was supposed to be rich and fertile land. So they were going looking for sustenance, looking for bread, having left the place of bread. And they get there, and what do they find? They find death. Elimelech dies. She still has those two boys. She's a widow. Naomi is a widow now, but she still has her two sons. Her two sons, since they are in Moab, if you going to marry, you're going to have to marry who's there. So there were two, the folks there were the Moabites. And Ruth was married to Mahlon, and Orpah married to Chilion. But the Bible also says they died. They died. So what was left was three widows. Three widows. And with those three widows, Naomi being the covenant woman, because these women were Moabites. What I mean, they were pagan women. They were idolaters. Those folks worshiped Chemosh and the Baals. They were idols. They did all kind of stuff. When you research Moab, you see they did all kind of stuff. They even had children sacrifices. So this was the character or the culture that these women had come from. But they had spent time with a woman of covenant. And when you spend time with people that are not of your kind, can we be kind? Can we be loving? Can we be instructive? Can we love in spite of? Now, we know folks these days have a problem with mom-in-law and everything. They talk about mom-in-law. They don't want mom-in-law to visit. And mom-in-law talk about daughter-in-law, all that kind of stuff. Don't look like love is nowhere in the midst. But this was a love relationship. Naomi tried to send Orpah back. She tried to send both of them back. Orpah cried. Both of them cried, but Orpah went back. She went back to her culture. She went back to her people. She went back to her gods. She went back to her old way of life. But Ruth. Ruth stayed with her. Was Ruth a Moabite? Yes, she was. But she stayed with her. But she cut covenant with Naomi. She denounced everything that had been a part of who she was. She denounced her family. She denounced her culture. She denounced her religion. She denounced everything that she had been attached to in the land of Moab. And mom-in-law told her, she said, she tried. She tried to get her to go back. But she wouldn't go. She wouldn't go. If you love somebody and truly love somebody, you stick and stay. She a widow and she a widow. She ain't got no husband, she ain't got no husband. But what we do have is each other. There is power in agreement. Great power in agreement. Those two women hung together. Naomi didn't try to send her back anymore. The Bible says she said no more to her. In chapter 3, it tells us that Naomi heard that there was bread again in the land of Bethlehem. I read that, and I was wondering, how did it don't say nobody told them? You know, it don't say nobody ventured into the land from Bethlehem to find them, to tell them that and everything. But let me say this. When you are a person, you're a covenant person, God is king in your life. He is your instructor, your leader, your guider, he tells you. You go and spend time with him, he spends time with you. And she could have, scripture doesn't say, but this, she could have found out in prayer. God gives direction. He could have told her, now it's time to go back to the land of bread. She went back. She took her daughter-in-law. Her daughter-in-law went with her. Now, being a Moabite, let me say this. Ruth didn't look like the folks that were back in Bethlehem. She did. She was from Moab, so she looked like Moab. She was not the fair-skinned color that those folks were. She was probably a few shades darker, but she was a young woman. But she was a dedicated woman. She was a loving woman. She was a covenant woman now. But when you leave all that you know and follow somebody who knows somebody, it helps so much if you'll just be honest with God. Can I say God can handle your honesty? I don't care if you don't like it. You know, you can say, God, I don't like this. You know, you understand? She said, you dealt bitterly with me. You know, I left this land at first and went to Moab. I left full. But now you done brought me back and I'm empty. All I got is this dog-skinned daughter-in-law with me. That's all I got. You know, and so now I come back and don't look like I got nothing. But can I say it don't look like it. She had greater than what she knew. Greater than any time God has stripped you. When he has, it looks like he has taken from you. Look like he has subtracted you. Hang in there. It's just what it looks like, because it is not the end of the story. Hang in there. Ruth hung in there. Ruth took care of her mama-in-law. You go somewhere, you a stranger in the place, you got to eat. You got to have a job. You got to do something, you understand? But you're around strange folks. You don't know their customs. You don't know what you're supposed to do or what you ain't supposed to do. Can I say this? When folks come into the church or they come into the body of Christ, having been out there, they come in green. They don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't know what they ain't supposed to do. Sometimes they don't know what they're supposed to wear or what they're not supposed to wear. And I say this to say this. Let them wear what they wear. Let them come in as they are. Come in as they are. You have to first catch a fish before you clean it. But let me tell you this. It's not our responsibility to clean it. It's our responsibility to accept them in as part of the family. Because that's who they are. Leave it up to God. Leave it up to the Holy Spirit to clean the fish. You understand? Let the folks come in. People come in. They do not come to have an encounter with us. Hallelujah. They don't. They come to have an encounter with God. And forbid not that we stand in their way. Because remember, such was one of us at one time. Hallelujah. We had to come that way too. So, we let people come as they are. But when you are in a strange place, there needs to be somebody instructing you. Need to be somebody instructing you. Somebody telling you what to do. Somebody telling you what not to do. Somebody telling you where to go. And it needs to be a relationship where you have the utmost trust, the utmost respect for that person, because you know they won't lead you wrong. When she was in Moab with her mom-in-law, she didn't lead her wrong. So why would she do something evil to her now that she's come with her to the land of bread? And so Ruth worked. It's honor in working. You know, some folks don't want to work. It's honor in working. I don't care if you're working on the garbage truck. If you're a street sweeper, if you in the courthouse, if you at McDonald's, I don't care where it is, it's honest money. You understand? You ain't dope dealing. You ain't hooking and hoeing. It's honest money. There is honor in work. She got out there and she worked. She worked from morning up to late evening. But I want to say this, the Bible said, but she rested. Get your rest. Don't think you can work, and don't get no rest. You got to rest. If you don't rest your body will rest you. It really will. It will arrest you. Get your rest. She did what she needed to do, and she was faithful and she was dedicated in doing it. And so she brought back food for her mother-in-law, and they ate and they did fine. And she went out day after day. The scripture says she happened upon a field, and the field just happened to be Boaz's field. Boaz was a near kinsman, meaning that there is a law in Deuteronomy that says if a brother dies and he leaves a wife with no children, it becomes the obligation of that brother to marry that wife and raise up children for that dead brother. So she had a right to a kinsman redeemer. But Boaz was not the nearest kinsman. But like I said, you need somebody to help you. You know, you don't know the culture. You over here in this new land, you don't know what's supposed to be done. But Naomi knew. Naomi knew, and hear me real good. Naomi told her. She told her. When you look at chapter 3, in verse 3, it says that, I ain't got my Bible open, but let me say this. Naomi gave her some instruction. She told her she wanted her to get rest. Because I'm sure the woman was tired. I'd have been tired. I don't work every day, but I'd still be tired, you know. But anyway, she told her, she said, I'm giving you instructions and do what I did. Paraphrase. She told her, she said, go wash yourself. She told her where Boaz would be laid. She said, wash yourself. She says, anoint yourself. Can I put it in, okay. Girl, go take a bath. You know, you've been working. You've been out there working. Go take your bath, all right? When you get through taking your bath, put you some perfume on. Put you some perfume on and put on you some good clothes. That's what you do. She gave, those are simple instructions. Now, I can spiritualize it because the Bible says we experience the washing of the body by the word of God. We are washed by the word, okay? But she told her to wash. That was just plain English to me. Go take your bath and put on you some perfume and put on you some good clothes. Because let me say this. You want to make your best impression. You trust the instructions that your mother-in-law has given you, the one who is giving her directions. She trusted it, and so she did it. She told her to get thee down to the floor. I'm going to put this over here. Get thee down to the floor. Somebody say submission. Somebody say surrender. She understood that she had a right. She had a right to claim him. I didn't say he claimed her, but he had already claimed her. But she had a right to. But still, there is a right way to do any and everything. I don't care what it is. There's a right way and there's a righteous way to do. And so she told her what to do. In some commentaries, if you read everything, folks try to make stuff out that it ain't. Be careful with that, because we're talking about the Bible. And now I understand cultures were different in that time, but still, whatever you find in the Word of God is righteous. It's upright. It's for our teaching and for our learning. It's not anything that's going to lead us astray and destroy us, because God loves us too much for that. She went and she did just what she told her to do. It was the end of the barley harvest, the wheat harvest and everything, and this man, he goes down to the threshing floor. where they got all their grain and stuff, and they get through eating and drinking and everything, and they lie down at the end of the heap of their grain, and they go to sleep, and they go to sleep with their clothes on. That was culture. She told her, she said, go down there. She said, and mark where he lay. She told her, don't let him see you. She waited. She did just what her instructions were. We say this. Anytime we're dealing with things of God, he gives us instructions. He gives us directions. If we seek him for that. You know, in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord. Acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will direct our path. Now, sometimes we don't ask God nothing. We just going to do what, like them folks in Judges did, what we think was right in our own eyes. But there's also a scripture tell you sometimes that leads you to a way of death. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death, or the end thereof is destruction. So if we want God to lead the thing, find out from him what we're supposed to be doing. And then do it his way. She got there. The Bible said it was at midnight. And she lay down at his feet. At midnight, it was the ending of one day and the beginning of a morning. You know, scripture just come up and said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. She laid at his feet at midnight, and the Bible said it startled him. It startled him, and he turned over and he looked, and he saw a woman lying at his feet. I'm gonna step over a little bit. Lying at his feet. Okay. That was not immodest. That was culture. Lying at his feet. She was not lying at his side. Okay? She was not lying at his back. There are some things that folks do in this culture. We know it ain't right. We done did it, and we know it wasn't right and everything. But still, it's the right way to do things. If you want the man to pay attention to you, don't go and lay down by the man by his side at midnight. Okay, all I can say to that is start adding and multiplying. Okay, you understand what I mean? Start adding and multiplying. Because you don't want to give a foothold to the enemy. You understand? She laid at his feet. She submitted herself. She said, he asked the question. He said, who are you? And what did she say? She said, I am Ruth. And I say that to say this. You need to have an answer when the question comes. Who are you? I tell you what she didn't say. She didn't say, I'm Naomi's daughter-in-law. She didn't say, I'm the Moabitess that came from the land of Moab. She didn't say, I was Mahlon's wife. She didn't say, I come from a place that have idolatry. She didn't say any of that. She said, I am Ruth. And saying who she was, she says, I'm a companion. She said, I am a vision of beauty. That's who I am. And I'm saying that to say this. When the question comes, you need to be able to say who you are. If you are Doris, you need to say, I am Doris. That's who you are. Can I say this? Even though I know, please don't take it irreverently, because I don't mean it irreverently. You don't say, I am Pastor Doris. Your name was Doris before it was Pastor. You understand? Folks, I have met folks, I'm prophetess this, and I'm prophet that. Now, what is your name? Because I ain't asked you nothing about your title. You understand? What is your name? Because a name identifies who you are. So when the question comes, you can say, I am a child of God. I am a child of the King. That's who I am. And when you say those things, and even though if you don't believe them sometimes, you say them long enough, you'll believe them. You meditate it, it'll get in you. That's who you are. And you won't settle for anything. You won't allow people to step to you and say anything to you. Because people can talk at you, but that don't mean they're talking to you. You understand? Because you decide whether they're talking to you or not. Because somebody calls me something that's out of my name, because you say you were talking to me, that don't mean you were talking to me, baby. You might have been talking in my direction, but I didn't receive none of that. You understand? You have to be that because you have to know who you are. She said, I am Ruth. She was nothing short of it, but she was everything of it. She was a covenant woman. She had a right to him as a near kinsman. You can be bold when whatever it is that you want from God. The Bible said you can boldly come to the throne of grace, that you can receive mercy. You can receive help in time of need. You don't have to beg. You don't have to do any of that. You have a blood covenant. You have a covenant right to everything that he has said concerning you as a child of God. If I'm a child of God, I need to act like a child of God. If he the king, I need to act like I'm the child of a king. Research how kings act and everything. You know, folks be in the grocery store or on side the street or whatever, cussing you out. You don't got to cuss them out. Because, number one, I want to say, you ain't got to come down there. You're the child of a king. If you up here, let them have a standard to come up to. You are not to go down to where they are, because I could cuss them out too. But what witness is that of you? What witness of that is God in you? Christ in you? What does that say? And you don't make you no different looking wise as the other somebody that would have cussed them out. You allow yourself to be who you are. God didn't call you to be Mary Jean. He called you to be Thomas. He didn't call you to be Dwayne. He called you to be Chris. Be the best you that you can be, because the greater one is on the inside of you. Allow the greater one in you to minister to you. Spend time with him in the word. Spend time with him in prayer. Spend time with him in praise. Spend time with him in worship. One-on-one, just you and him. Nobody got to know what you're saying, what you're talking about. You understand? It's just you and God. And whatever is wrong or needful to be changed, I'm telling you, God will make the changes. He'll tell you what to do. Let me say this. People that smoke. I got a friend of mine who smoked. She's been trying to stop smoking for a long time. And I asked her, I give her scripture and stuff. She said, I read the scripture. I read them. She said, but girl, I'm still smoking. And I said, okay. I said, how many cigarettes you smoke? She said, I ain't smoking no pack. And you know what I said to that? Amen. Because she used to be smoking a pack. Now she's smoking, I think she said, about 10 cigarettes a day. It's all right. Everything is a process. Everything is not just like that all the time. Can God do it just like that? Yes, he can. But if he chooses not to, don't let us be a stumbling block for people who is in process. Because maybe next month she'll be down to 5. And maybe the month after that she had 1. There's a time and a season for everything. And can I say, God holds the time and he holds the season. I'm getting ready to sit down. He asked her. He said some stuff to her. Naomi told Ruth that the man would tell her what to do. She said, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. So I'm saying this, the woman who was an outsider, so to say, she found covenant with her mother-in-law. So she became, if you look at it, she became a proselyte. She became a child of the king as well. She was entitled to everything that Naomi was entitled to. You have to read the end of the story because of the time frame. But anyway, he married her. He married her. And they had a child. Jewish history says, I need to keep looking. Jewish history says that Boaz had 30 other children. You know, it don't tell you nothing, but it's in Jewish history. And all of those children died but one. And it was the one that he had with Ruth. They had one son, and his name was Obed. And if you follow lineage, Obed had a son, and his name was Jesse. And follow that, Jesse had a son. Jesse had several sons. We're talking about the one son, one of the greatest kings in the tribe of Israel, in the land of Israel, King David. So I'm getting ready to sit down and say this. When you start looking at lineage, don't excommunicate nobody. We all are part of the family.
We are to love each other. We are to support each other. We are to help each other in any way and every way that we can, because we all need each other. She had
that child when you look way back, you find out Boaz was Rahab and Salmon's. Y'all know who Rahab was. That was Rahab's boy. God didn't throw nobody away. He didn't throw the hoes away. He didn't throw the idolaters away. He didn't throw none of them away. Because if you want him, he wants you. And I'm going to say this in Finnehush, Sister Doris. He wants you when you don't want him. The Bible says when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And he did. Amen. Amen. And so I thank you and I bless you in the name of Jesus. I pray that as we go forward in covenant relationship with God, that we find out everything that God has freely given to us, that we will seek it out. We'll find out from him, is this for me? Is this for me? How do I get it? Give me the directions. They are there for you. Just ask the questions and expect the answers. God bless you. I love you.
Praise God. We do thank God for the message tonight and the messenger. We're going to move swiftly. It is our time.